Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hey, come on, James, keep dancing!
Oh, here we go. Wrap it up. Let's get back and punt the ball. I didn't know you were a drummer, James.
I am.
Oh, yeah, air drummer.
Remember he's a drummer and he dances on tables.
Remember when air guitar came out?
Yeah, I was that too. I'm everything for everybody.
Ooh.
Sounds biblical.
Sounds biblical.
Good evening, Northern California. This is Shasta Live.
Shasta Live.
Shasta Live. It's got a ring
Shasta
to it.
Shasta County Chamber.
Yeah. A radio show by the Shasta County Chamber of Commerce. Shasta
and you're listening Live. At KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
It's November 4th, and it's going to rain tomorrow.
That's going to rain.
Under our streaming, KCNR1460.com, all over the world.
You're still doing promo.
I'm trying, but that's okay.
That's okay.
You know, if I have to get up on the table and do it, I will.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I have my camera.
Oh, great.
I have mine.
So how's everybody doing?
Good. Nigel?
Good.
Good. James? Jason?
Cherry
Yvonne?
Cherry old chap.
Yvonne's here tonight.
I'm here tonight.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Well, kind of.
Great. Yeah. I'm with the boys.
I'm with the boys. With the boys. Hanging with the boys.
Yes. That's all you ever get to do.
I know, true.
So it's not here, it's at home, it's all boys.
You guys don't have...
Oh, any. Actually, you do have one cohort, but she's pretty much almost a boy, and that's our dog.
Hanging with the
That's
lads.
Where you get it from. anyway, our guest... It's his first time on the radio.
Mm-hmm. He's a virgin.
A virgin?
That opens him up for abuse, but we'll go easy on him.
Yeah. I think he likes it, though. Every time I throw a punch and a jab, he smiles.
He's got that smile.
What can I say?
Yes. And there's that Italian accent. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
Italian accent.
So, Mr. Jesus.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Welcome to Reading.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Jesus is a chef,
mm-hmm.
right?
Correct.
And you are currently the chef for the newly to be opened Divine, formerly View 202.
Yep. Formerly Hatch Cover.
Formerly Hatch Cover.
Uh-huh.
There you
Many
go.
Moons ago.
Formerly Rivers, I think I heard.
It never made it. It was never supposed to be Rivers, and then it switched to View 202.
They banked it.
Wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They banked it. And so now you're with Divine. Probably open sometime next year, I believe.
Yep.
If all goes well.
Yeah. Hopefully early. Mm-hmm. Early in your year. 2026.
Yeah. They just started the demo. Saw that.
Yes. That was exciting.
Yeah.
To see that.
I didn't get to see it. I barely saw a picture, but it looks like they cleared the place out.
Yep.
I mean,
yeah, it's
pretty well.
Be good.
That's
yes,
great.
Yes, they dropped all those walls, breaking walls from from the dining area. So,
and so you're the chef.
I am.
So what's your story? Where are you from?
Originally. Way back.
Way, way back when I was born.
Yeah.
Mexico. Well, not Mexico. Hidalgo. State. About an hour away from Mexican City.
Okay.
Mm. All right.
So was it a little bit country?
Yes.
As compared to Mexico City, which is the metropolis of all metropolises.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, no. It's very, very small, especially where I'm from. Yeah. You know, so it's a very unique state.
Mm.
Not a lot of people get out of there. It's very, very dry. The weather,
really?
Yeah, the weather is very dry, cold, like it's literally like could be 40 degrees in the morning, and then by noon it's like 100 and something. So
sounds like Reading.
Very extreme.
Yes,
that's why I love it.
I was going to say.
So how did you get out?
How did I get out? Well, you know, my story is basically probably like a lot of people, you know, a lot of Latinos.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to better our life. My mom got out of there first before everybody else.
Hmm.
And had an opportunity to move into the U.S.
Was it kind of abandonment?
A little bit. Oh, that's how I felt it. I think it was because, you know, I was the smallest one out of the family.
You're the baby?
Yeah. I was the one that kind of felt it the most.
How many brothers and sisters?
I got two sisters older than me. One is a year older. The other one's seven, I think. I don't want
to. I was just asking because I was you and tell me you had like 50 brothers and sisters.
No,
I was like
so not the typical.
I know, you know? It wasn't a huge family. It's just
just a small family. Yeah. I did have about six aunts and one uncle.
Yeah. How old were you when you followed?
When I got out actually from Hidalgo. It was kind of like back and forth, but I lived in different states in Mexico. I lived in Puebla. I lived in Tlaxcala and their surrounding areas, Monterrey. My last stop was actually Monterrey before actually moving to the U.S.
That's where our friend Claudia's family's from.
We had a Monterrey.
Monterrey.
There, too.
I was 17 when actually my mom told me to come over here. So I had no choice.
Yeah,
but to listen to mom,
right?
You know, and
good son.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I think I have my share. But I was 17. She asked me if I wanted to come with her, learn a little bit of English. Kind of like the idea, you know, like you just come, learn English and stuff, and go back to Mexico, finish your studies. Yeah, it didn't happen. Yeah, that was 1987, so I'm still
That's
here.
That's when you broke your mother's heart.
Yeah, exactly.
I've actually been to Monterrey,
mm-hmm.
The one place I've been to in Mexico.
One place?
The one place.
Is that where you have your Spanish words?
I think so. No, I actually went and photographed a wedding there, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah. Celebrity?
Like 20, no.
Where did celebrity stay?
No, it was like 25 years ago, now 20 odd years ago.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So. We had a prominent hair care distributor in Monterrey.
Yeah, we did, actually.
Mm-hmm. When we were in the KMS business.
Oh, when you guys had the KMS?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
International hair care. Yeah. Yeah, they were incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I used to have a rule as a photographer, you know, if I ever shot weddings, they either had to be far away.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, so I get a trip out of it, or there had to be a cake fight.
A cake fight. Oh.
That, yeah.
Because,
you know, you got to keep it in.
I love that.
Yeah, our distributor from Monterrey, they were, the husband and wife were very, very, what's the word I'm looking
Regal?
Very regal.
Yeah.
I mean, they looked like king
high fashion
and queen.
They were lovely people.
They'd show up and you'd be like, ooh, look at that.
They were awesome.
Okay, so you got out. Where did you go first?
L.A.
L.A.?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good job.
You know, I had no other choice. That was where my mom was. So, she just decided that, you know, it was a good time for me to move with her, living in Mexico, different families and family members. She just thought it would be a good move. So,
yeah. Were your sisters already here?
No, actually, they stayed. They always kind of stayed together.
Oh.
So, you know, it was kind of like, because I was the only boy, they were sisters. Mm-hmm. So they were able to stay in schools together.
Okay.
And I was the one that was kind of like.
Yeah.
So you're the one that got away.
I don't know about that.
So when did you start cooking?
I started cooking with my mom first when I was little. I used to kind of help her burn the eggs, you know, trying to cook, but. You know, I was
hopefully it was ranchos.
Exactly. but then after that, I spent quite a few years with my grandma, and my grandma was very, very strict. So I was the only child in the house with my grandma and my grandpa, and she was like, I remember vividly, she had like this big old window, you know, looking out the street, and she was like, you want to go out there with all those kids? You're not. You're staying inside. You help me cook. You help me clean. You help me. I used to do embroidery, you know, by hand and stuff.
Amazing.
Yeah. So she was like, yeah, you're just going to stay here and help your grandpa if you want to. You know, he had a butcher, a butcher shop.
Ooh, cool.
So she, yeah, he did like all kinds of stuff, mm-hmm. and carnitas and barbacoa and all that good stuff. So I kind of like that kind of got introduced, you know, to me.
Invaluable. I've always said my brothers and I have talked to learn how to do butchery of any kind of animal is it's an amazing ability because I've watched it online and it's amazing. You can take a side of a beef and just how you can actually change what you cut and how you cut it for different styles of beef. And I'm like, I have no idea.
It's different.
It's just wild how they just go cutting through things and then all of a sudden, boom, there's this kind of cut and then that kind of cut. And then they flip it over and if you cut it just right here, now it's this cut. And you're like, wow, I just assumed that, you know, here, let me cut,
just
let me cut off
meat.
A hamburger for you. And here's, you know, let me cut off here the steak for you. Like, that's not how it works.
Yeah, no. It was, I wish I could have learned more from him. Mm. I think I would spend more time with my grandma than my grandpa. Mm-hmm. I still know how to butcher chickens pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, but.
James, you have chickens.
I do.
You can bring some in.
I tear apart chickens all the time to feed my dog.
Yeah. So, well, you know, I use it to cook, but
yeah,
a little bit different. And then, you know, just kind of like went through life, just cooking whenever I could. Mm-hmm. And I just loved it that I was able to, fend for myself in that aspect, being able to like, not die of hunger, you know, because I was also able to do something. And every house, kind of like every house that I actually lived in, it was one of those things where, Jesus, it's your day to cook. What are you going to do? So, you know, I would, like, try to invent something or, you know, like, make up something or whatever.
I was going to say, And you're learning along the way each household how they make their favorite dishes, you know, and it's different, you know?
Yeah, and one of the consistent things that I think I accomplished was that everybody liked the cooking. So it was very rewarding.
You got good feedback.
Yes.
Yeah, positive feedback.
Yeah, definitely. So
what's
that?
What's one of your favorite things to cook?
You know what? Like, after all the social media stuff, you know, that's going around and stuff. And every time somebody asks me that, it reminds me that it was your first, it was your favorite thing to cook. And I always say money, right?
Do you like it fried or do you like it baked?
I like it crisp.
And green.
Yes. No, I fell in love with cooking Italian food. I just love the concept of, you know, it could be as complex as you want it, or it can be very simple as you want it, and you will enjoy it the same. Mm-hmm. Of course, Mexican. It's my heritage.
Yeah.
Right. So I have that kind of encrusted into me with my grandma, recipes and, you know, like flavors and stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
And Mexican food, I mean, authentically, a Mexican food is so different than what so many Americans eat here.
Yes.
I mean, so we eat Mexican food. We love Mexican food, but it's very...
Well, you think you love
Mexican. Yeah, yeah. But it's very different than what traditional Mexican people eat in their own homes and, you know, when you're not in the tourist places. Because my mother has a incredible timeshare in...
Mexico?
Puerto Vallarta? No, Cabo San Lucas.
Mm-hmm. No.
And she, when we go there, we leave the tourist beaches and she's, you know, knows people and made friends everywhere. And so we go into much more deeper into where, you know, people traditionally eat Mexican food. And it's amazing that the different dishes, like you don't even, I'm like, that's Mexican? I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, like even for myself, you know, like I'm still learning about a lot of the different, just going from state to state sometimes even from city to city.
Yeah.
You know, it's just
and it's very diverse if you're coastal versus interior.
But, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Totally different dishes.
So, like, for me, like, probably one of the favorite things also that I want to cook one day, it's barbacoa. Mm. The way my grandpa used to make it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just kind of like a hole digged in the dirt. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just... he would kill, lamb. It was a lamb, and it just basically like just very seasoned with salt and just cook it for like 8 hours and stuff, and it's just so flavorful. So
I know. Go ahead.
No, isn't that like one of the quote unquote secrets is to season it as little as possible and just use salt?
Well, definitely. Like even for me, like now learning throughout all these years, being in different restaurants and everything, like I've always said, you know, I love steaks, but a steak is a steak, you know. And as long as you have a good salt, maybe some black pepper, you're set. The steak is going to speak for itself.
So I was going to say the people that do that amazingly, and basically it's almost just salt, is the Brazilians.
Yes.
Their Brazilian steakhouse. Yeah. You know, they primarily all it is salt, but you can have five different cuts and it all tastes different. And I'm like, what seasoning is that? And they're like, salt. And I'm like, ooh, I really like this one. How do you season that? Salt?
Yes.
Good chocolate. What's in there? So in L.A., what are some of the restaurants? What was your first restaurant gig in L.A.?
My very first restaurant was actually in Beverly Hills.
Taco Bell.
I was about to say that, but I didn't because I knew you were going to say
it. Well, that sounds kind of... I don't want to say it, but my very first restaurant was in Beverly Hills. I was it's called the Grand Havana Room.
Ooh,
I was actually a dishwasher. It was kind of like one of those things where I shared an apartment with another couple. It was a one bedroom apartment, one couple, and then I shared the living room with somebody else, the person that actually worked at Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
And he was like, you want a job? I was like, I don't know. I got to ask my mom. So we talked, and we talked to my mom. And she was like, yeah, sure. Give him a job. So I did. I went, and I had only one day, which was Saturday. It was a 12-hour shift.
Mm.
And all I did was just wash dishes. I mean, 12 hours, you know.
Yeah.
It was nothing, I guess.
Well, yeah, but washing dishes can be brutal.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, I think it was because it was more of a like a cigar club. Mm. It was like a private club, so we just got whatever we got.
You know, it wasn't too taxing. Yes. It was like,
yeah, but still, you know, being there and one of the things that I remember from his name is Ray. One of the things that I remember from Ray Bibili telling me is he said, you know what, make sure that I know you're a dishwasher. I know you came in as a dishwasher, but make sure that you pay attention on your surroundings. Everything that you can pick up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If they need help, do it. You know, not because they're paying you less or they're paying you more, but that knowledge is gonna be with you forever.
Yeah.
And that kind of got stuck with me. And every single restaurant that I went to, it was always the same thing.
So would you consider yourself then, so you never never went to a cooking academy or anything like that?
I did.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yes.
I was going to say, so were you, I just figured you picked this all along the restaurant trail. You self-taught and observed and stuff, but you actually did go get training.
Well, yes, it took a little while before I did that. I went to a culinary institute, Le Cordon Bleu.
Oh, that little thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just, you know, in 2010. But before all that, you know, I was with different chefs, different restaurants, worked at a coffee shop, worked like pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, so, and the time came when I had the opportunity to be able to run an Italian restaurant.
Mm.
And it was funny because one of the cooks got sick.
Mm.
I was a little drunk. didn't show up to work, you know. And I was kind of like running the place, more of a head server, looking in the back and everything. And I said, hey, you know what? Like, you're not coming. I can, you know, go back there. I felt pretty confident, especially because of the years that I had been working already in the industry. So I can go back there and, you know, wake something up and, you know, we'll just keep going. And I did. And the other server was like,
this is much better.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like, wow. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, I got really fast feedback from the, from the customers. They were really happy with a lot of this, like some of the stuff that I was doing. And talked to the owner, and the owner said, hey, you don't want to be a server? You want to be in the back of the house? I was like, sure, why not? You know, I was just like, I just wanted to learn as much as I could, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
So then he said, okay, fine. You'll just take the back of the house. You still run the front of the house. I was pretty much doing everything. And, but,
pretty soon you were the only one there.
Kind of. It felt like it, you know. I did have a really good team, so I had their support and everything. And I spoke to the owner and I said, hey, you know what? Like, if I'm going to do this, I want to do it right. I want to go to school. I want to, you know, like, I want to make it happen, right? And he was like, sure. I was like, thanks.
Now pay for my school.
No, he actually, he was the one that offered.
Oh, did he?
Yes. He was like, hey, you know what? Choose the school that you want. And I was like, well, I can go to Cerritos College. They have a culinary program. It's like, no, choose the right school. Hmm. And I was like, okay.
Oui, cordon bleu.
And I was like, hey. Well, let's go a couple of different. I actually looked into the Napa, Culinary Institute.
That's a beautiful and then, place.
Yeah. And I was like, well, that's kind of far. I already have family. I was like, I can't do it. I had a job. I have bills to pay. So, you know, those never stop. So I did end up going to Le Cordon Bleu. He was like, when I told him, hey, I already registered, enrolled, you know, this is my schedule. I'm going to do this. He was like, okay. Just go make sure that you do it right, and I will take care of everything.
Mm.
Wow.
And, yes, he did. Wow. And I'm grateful for that.
So. Yeah.
How long was that?
What?
The course?
It was, was it a
1 year?
No, year and a half program. So it was more so, like hands-on.
So when you, okay, so when you were done, did you continue working at the same restaurant?
Well, actually, I was working while I was going to school.
Okay.
Yes. So did you notice
a change in your cooking?
I did.
You were going to.
Well, you know what?
Halfway through school, he realized what salt was.
Well, halfway through school, I realized that it was harder than what I thought it was.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, like, well, it's one of those things, like, not to, you know, belittle, cooking schools and everything, but in the same token, it's one of those things where they speed up your process of understanding how to treat, you know, proteins, how to treat your vegetables, how to, you know, like all the different techniques. But what I realized is that I saw that with my grandma. I saw that with people that, you know, with older people, when I see them cooking, is they actually...
They just do it.
Yeah, they just do it.
Yeah.
You know, so it was kind of like one of those things like, yes, like, you're teaching me this, but, like, everything that you learn, all the experiences, and how you perfect or how you better yourself is actually being through different restaurants, you know, because they all have different kitchens, they all have different techniques, they all see product different.
Mm-hmm.
So, cool. Yeah.
Tell you what, let's take our bottom of the hour break. You ready? And when we come back, we'll speed it up to good old Reading.
Sounds good.
See you back in a minute.
Unique homes, uniquely placed, uniquely yours. Service tailored to your lifestyle. A global network like no other. Exceptional heritage. Pioneering expertise. With an eye for detail, we see what's special. From rare gems to modern masterpieces, every home is one of a kind. Like you. Like us. Discover your one of one.
This is Chad Phillips, owner at Shasta Sotheby's International Realty. Please visit us online at ShastaSIR.com.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at HavenHumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
There's a lot of...
Oh, that's it.
Chatty yeah. Kathy, we're yeah. back. We're
See,
back
the problem again. With doing food shows is it always makes me hungry. Yeah, welcome back, Chest Live.
Well, you know what? I was sitting here thinking, gosh, it's Monday night. Are they open? And how late are they open? Because then I was like, maybe you and I should go to Nello's.
You know, one of my favorite dishes.
Now I want Italian.
One of my favorite dishes is menudo and pozole.
Menudo and pozole.
Yeah, that's
pozole,
what I mean. Man, I love those dishes.
Oh, I love those, especially on a hangover.
Yeah, on a hangover. That's why they sell on weekends, right?
Exactly. Yes, that's why they only sell them on weekends, because yeah. that's going to be a big seller.
Yeah, that's right. Only on weekends.
Mm-hmm. So, Chef Jesus.
Yes.
At the Newly Divine. So you were in L.A. What was your favorite restaurant to work at in L.A.?
My very favorite restaurant, it was the one that I partnered with. It's called Chef Hannes Restaurant. Small little restaurant, probably 12, 15 tables, not that many. Small little bar, probably 4 or 5 seats. Everything was small. The kitchen was really small. You know, 4 burners, wow. little flat top, you know, but we were cranking food like crazy. Everybody just loved it, you know. Okay. It had that little like Italian, French, Mediterranean, all kind of mixed together. And people really seemed to like it, so...
So how did you end up in Reading?
How did I? That's the million-dollar question. Yes, I just took I-5. I was like, what?
I just took I-5.
Yes. Well, you know, I don't know if I'm lying to myself or my wife and I are lying to ourselves. but we actually wanted to be kind of like in the middle of our kids. So one of our kids wants to go to Doc Oregon. The other one wanted to go to Cal Poly. So we're like right there.
Right in the middle.
It took us quite a few years to actually make up our mind. Came different trips, family trips, you know, just hit the road, go and explore Reading at different temperatures, which we didn't
different
mind.
Times of year.
Yes. And they all seem very cozy in their own way, you know. And we just kind of like fell in love with the vibe of the place, the growth that we saw throughout the years of coming here. And we saw that just Reading is just keeps growing and, you know, keeps getting better. And, you know, the opportunity as well of growth. So
did you work in restaurants up here?
Yes and no.
How long have you been here now?
I've been here since July 5th, 2023.
Oh, okay. So it's newbie.
Not that long.
Yes, very, very new. I got my first job in Palo Cedro, actually working in the kitchen, doing breakfast. And I just kind of like, I got in there because I liked the idea when I spoke to the owner that said that, you know, I could probably help out with some of the menu modifications and stuff. And kind of literally happened. So I was like, okay, I'll just do what you do. I'll stay quiet and just...
Cállate, boca.
Yeah, cállate. You know? and just keep moving forward. And, you know, I have bills to pay. So I just wanted to keep my family, you know, with the roof over their head. And that was one of the first ones. About a week later, I got a job at Hubs Bridge Bay. And I came in as a food runner or expediter, whatever you want to call it. You want to be fancy. and a few months into it, I became a server. And then I really fell in love with Hubs. The restaurant itself, it's a beautiful restaurant right next to the lake. The owner very, very down to earth, you know, really always willing to help everybody. And
that's nice.
Yes, and well, I'm just really thankful for him, you know. And
the restaurant business is a very interesting, you know, food service, restaurant, cooking, all that stuff. When you watch, at least from my perspective, when you watch like on the Food Network, right, and all these shows and all these chefs and stuff, it seems like a lot of chefs come from a very hard background. Like they've had a lot of struggles in life.
And
I'm not saying for you. I'm just saying that industry. It's, yes. You know.
And it keeps me hard. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like it's rewarding. The food industry is very rewarding. Probably not monetarily, but yeah. Rewarding the aspect that you're feeding you're feeding other souls.
Yeah. So exactly. Was it quite an adjustment? Here you are in LA and you're doing cooking and you're a chef and then you come here and now you're a server.
Yeah, so I kind of, well, like I said, like I've done
everything
A to Z in the food industry. And one of the things is that I'm not scared to, you know, roll up my sleeves and wash dishes if I have to, or whatever it takes for me, you know, to get out there.
Well, it shouldn't, because that's where you plan your attack. It's exactly. From the dishwasher. You
yeah.
Eye everything out until you find where you're going to.
Of course. So, yeah, no, like, it was a little hard. Actually, funny story, or, you know, I don't know how funny it is. But actually, BO202, or what now is Divine, that was one of the very first restaurants or that when I brought my mom, when I decided to bring my mom with all the family, was where we went to have dinner.
Wow.
And I have That's a picture funny. Of that. So.
And where you're like, disgusting. Like,
I don't think my palate was refined yet, so, you know.
Okay. Oh, you're so kind.
later down the road those years, I actually spoke to the manager because in order for me to move here with the family, we wanted to do get a lease.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for us to get a lease, we have to show proof that we have a job here. And I'm like, well, my wife works in the bank industry, so it wasn't hard for her, or was a little bit easier. But for me, you know, the food industry is like either if you work at in a corporate restaurant, well, they might be able to, you know, move you around. But if you don't, I usually work a lot of the restaurants that I work were like mom and pop or smaller restaurants, you know, that were not so big. So it's kind of one of those things where like, okay, I dedicated a weekend all alone to come and drop off applications and, you know, like talk to owners and stuff. And actually one of the jobs that I came across was actually BO202, formerly BO202. And spoke to the manager, said, oh, you know what, like I need a letter, I need a job. So, and if I get a job or you offer me a job, also, you know, if you'd be so kind to give me a letter stating that I'm going to have a job here when I come. And he was like, sure. So I did. I turned in all the paperwork, came. Once I came in, I tried to reach out to him. Didn't happen. So, you know, I always say things happen for a reason. So I guess
everything happens for a reason. I think we found that out.
Name him.
Yeah. You know what? I don't even remember his name. So.
Hey, it's raining.
Hey, it's Reagan.
It's raining.
And I brought my umbrella.
Oh, there you go. All right. So... You, because I spent 25 years in L.A. How long were you in L.A. for?
Since he was 97 to 2023, so about 25 years, too.
Okay, yeah. So was there a slight adjustment? You know, in L.A., you're around so many different restaurants and so many different culinary experiences, and then you come here, and it's like slightly smaller, shall we say?
Slightly? A lot smaller.
I think we talked about this. I mean, being in L.A. or San Francisco or London, you know, even though they're crazy places, and I'm very glad I live here compared to L.A. But one of the things, though, is the food.
Yes. For us, I would say it was like a culture shock, you know, because...
it was a food desert.
Yes, exactly. And believe me, we love to try new restaurants, and we've tried a lot of them around here. And we definitely, every time we go to LA, we stuff ourselves to the point that we can't even walk.
And I'm not saying that there aren't great restaurants in Reading, because there are, but it's very strange to me how Reading's food culture
hasn't matured.
Yeah, it's very stunted in a lot of ways. You know, for a long time, I was in Visalia, California, and back and forth with where my mom lives. And Reading and Visalia were very similar in their growth. You know, we would get this, and then they would get it. And they would get one of these, and then we would get it. And so population-wise, you know, it fluxed. And then all of a sudden, 10, 15 years ago, all of a sudden just Visalia exploded. And, I mean, the growth was outrageous. Mm-hmm. But the food culture just literally exploded. I mean, you can't turn without running into these just incredible bistros.
Yeah,
and
boutique-y type of restaurants.
And we go down there and visit, and, you know, my brother and his wife, you know, will say, hey, let's go here to do this, and let's go try here. And then just,
Fresno, too, right?
Oh, like this company came in and bought a bank. It's like a 5-story bank, and then they put this incredible restaurant on the roof, and you know, just like this, and you don't even feel like you're in Visalia. It's like, where are we? This is incredible. And it's just never happened here. Like, and I don't really understand why, but I mean, it is what it is.
There are some hidden gems here.
No, there totally is, but we haven't had that explosion of food.
Explosion of flavors.
Yeah.
So what are, because we have Mr. Reading Buzz here, right? Mm-hmm. So, and we do talk about food a lot. So what are some of your favorite local restaurants that you have been to?
Confession time.
No.
Come on. Name them and shame them.
No, I wouldn't shame anybody. Yeah. You know, they all...
No, I mean the good ones. What are some of your favorite places to eat?
Well, I think, my family and I agree that one of the places that we always would come back to every time we visit, it was Cinder's Pizza. Mm.
Right next door to our office.
And just, I don't know, because, I mean, their pizza's actually, you know, pretty good. And they got ice cream. Nice place,
you know, and hot chocolate next to that.
Yes, exactly. So that's probably one of them. I really like, I tried a lot of the Mexican places. Mm-hmm. Everybody tells me, you know, this is really good, and I kind of go and try every single one of them.
So what's the best one that you've been to?
So there is a couple. If you want something more of a sit-down, I'll go to Casa Rios.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry. That's my favorite.
Yes.
Like Casa Rios?
Casa Rios.
Mm-hmm. Casa Rios is actually pretty good.
Their shrimp and their red sauce.
And you can
taste,
yes, you can actually taste when they serve you, you can taste the flavors. Mm-hmm. You can taste that they've, you know, worked on it. Mm-hmm. The other one, favorite, it's kind of like more of a quick bite. It's Dos Amigos Tacos.
Las Dos Amigos.
Mm-hmm. Hey. Yeah, right. Over there by Panera.
Yeah.
And they're like, I love their concept. I love how they do business. Mm-hmm. And I love the way of doing business is like, you know, it's so intriguing. Mm-hmm. Because it feels like they started with this small project and, like, you know, like, see them grow the way they are.
Too, yeah,
yes. It's pretty interesting. So
I think Casarillos has a great little story, because it was a mom and dad, and then the father passed away, and then the son actually moved into the spot where the dad was. Mm-hmm. So I love when
that
family
story. Oh, definitely. Yes,
yes. When family and takes on.
Yeah, they really picked it up too, because they had one of the big anchors in that square that they enclosed, and then they got their liquor license. So now it's nice because they actually offer drinks and all that stuff.
Yes.
We used to go before that, and it was, you know, there were people there, but you go in now and that place is slammed.
Even their desserts, like the tres leches cake. Yeah. Oh,
mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Yes. Yeah, we had my wife actually had a spicy guava margarita, which is pretty good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those are probably some of the favorite ones. And, you know,
have you been to any of the other different cultural restaurants. We're going to have our next...
La?
No, Fa.
Fa?
La Fa. La Fa. La Fa. My favorite Fa spot, it's Racha Noodles.
Yeah.
Oh,
Racha Noodles, good.
Yeah. 273.
That was one of the first restaurants that we actually covered in Enjoy Magazine years ago. Yeah, Racha Noodle. Yeah. And they were so kind to us. We did a story, and we just were happy to do a story. And then we went in one day. They wanted us to come in. And then it was like they about killed us with food. I mean, it was like,
no more.
Here, eat more, more. And we're like, no, we have to pay for it. Oh, no, this is on us. And here's dessert. And here's, and it was like, you were so kind.
Yeah. And I'm sad to see them. I don't know what happened, but they've been closed for a few weeks already.
I don't know.
So I'm not sure what's happening.
Yeah. Maybe somebody in the family.
Probably.
So that, you know, hopefully it's not.
You ever eat at the Rose Garden or?
Man, that's good too.
I heard a lot of good things.
Their pumpkin curry soup.
I don't think I have.
I would kill
it's right across from it. Right?
Yeah.
No, I don't think we have.
Yeah. Spice Garden. Have you been to Spice Garden yet?
No. See, I don't know a lot of it. Like, I'm still trying to, like, I'm still finding out.
We'll have to do a Shasta County food tour.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What about Lalibela? The Ethiopians moving up on Eureka Way, I hear.
Yeah. Mm. Lalibela. No, I haven't. No,
I haven't tried.
I love Ethiopian food, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because you know what, Ethiopian food actually has quite a bit of Italian
influence.
Influence on it.
Yeah, I didn't know that, but if you go to Ethiopia, there's a big Italian ruins from way back. The Italians actually moved into North Africa.
Talking about culture, we just got our first French bakery. Right.
Are you going to try and pronounce it this time?
No, I'm not.
Where is that?
French bakery.
Where is that?
Right over here in the public, right past the public market.
Okay, so just down the street.
La Joie?
Hey, La Joie. I'm sorry, I can't say I butcher. I'm the word butcher.
Yeah.
Translated is the joy.
The joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just
called. They just opened up and that place was packed.
It was literally packed.
Yeah. It's very, very nice. They've done a really great job.
I love pastries, so.
I'm one of those people that'll drive. For a bakery.
She'll drive to Reno to get to a bakery.
What's
it called? It's called Perrin. It is amazing. It's so wonderful.
You'll drive to Reno for a bakery?
Well, I usually go through there. I go through there to go to my family in the Eastern Sierras, but I always stop.
Yes.
Beautiful pastries. I mean, incredible.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know, like, that's kind of like what we do also, you know, if we like something, we don't mind if we have to drive 2-3 hours.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Really?
Well, it's fun.
Yeah. It's kind of the process.
Oh, and Dunsmuir, they just opened, Madalena's.
Cafe Madalena again?
Yeah, Cafe Madalena. You should take your wife there.
I gotta check
you never know, though, because, I mean, I'm not saying that they're not great, but Cafe Madalena and Dunsmuir started by a woman that was from Sardinia.
Okay.
And her food, I'm telling you, I cry when I eat it, right? And she had it for
years.
How do
you taste it then? How do you taste it then if you're crying?
Salty tears.
Salty, yes.
It needs more salt.
Yeah, I'm going to cry in it. But then she sold it, and the new owners, it was very good. But it's been through, 100 hands.
Yeah.
So then it's been closed for a long time, but now they're saying they're reopening it, so I'm always curious.
It's that small, like you talked about, intimate setting.
Yeah.
And the desserts for the evening, they have up on a pedestal, and that's the dessert for the evening. So it's just really well thought out. The menu, the seasonality of the food, it's
very seasonal.
Wonderful.
Speaking of seasons, when's Cane's opening up?
Oh, geez.
Yeah, the middle of this month.
Is it the middle? Of, like, beautiful. I drive by it.
Talking about high-end
squirrel.
Squirrel.
You and I can talk.
Yes. That was very, very hot turn right there.
We had one of these shows once, not too long ago, maybe, a month, 2 months ago, and we were talking about something, and we started talking about your favorite kind of dish, if it's good, is fish and chips.
Yeah.
And so we were like, we need fish and chips. And so we went, is it Lighthouse? So we went there for our first time, and I was surprised. We brought a bunch of stuff home, and our kids went crazy over it, so much so that they asked us to go again the next day to buy
more fish and chips.
Yeah.
It's the best one in town, but
They do the sourdough bread bowls with the clam chowder, things
that
you...
I would say it's the best fish and chips in town, but, down in L.A., we have the King's Head and the Robin Hood and... Unfortunately, you got to drive all the way down there.
And you were born in England, which you're is born where
in
it comes
England
from.
Too. Well, in England, you just go down to the Chippy, and it's all fish and chips.
Well, now you don't have to drive; you can just fly down there. An hour or so, you're already there.
Chippies.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing what you bring.
Yeah,
to
I can't wait.
This is exciting.
No pressure, right?
No
pressure.
But if you need some help, like tasting.
We got you guys. Yeah. Don't worry.
So do you think at this point, are you working hard on your menu, or do you have it already done, or
I have? So, I created a menu. Mm. I was not happy with it. So then you kind of take things off, put things back on. Kind of go back in circles and try to figure things out, especially because trying to incorporate. The beef in there, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because. So,
Elwood beef.
Correct.
Elwood beef, it is.
So, you talk about pressure, because there is a lot of pressure, because that particular spot in Reading is like the hub, right?
Yes.
It used to be VO 202.
Mm-hmm.
So, but one of the complaints that I think we all went through was the food. Mm. Yeah, the view was great.
It wasn't consistent. That's the thing. I mean, you could get really good dishes there, but if you came back, there would be a different chef, and the dish may be different, or it wasn't there. It just
that's probably one of my personal kind of challenges that I want to make sure that every dish that comes out of the kitchen, it's always the same.
Mm. Consistency.
Mm-hmm. Yes, consistency, and that. I think it's bringing people or creating a team that can see the vision. Mm. That can see the vision that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I work with you.
Yes.
if you need people to come and test the menu.
She needs to make more money, so give her a night job.
Got it.
Make sure I get invited.
Everybody's invited.
It's very
at the table.
Creative. I love that.
So I have a question for you, Chef.
Yes.
For you. So how many different sets of knives do you have?
Oh.
Throwing knives or cutting knives?
Chef knives?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I am crazy about knives, but I try to control. Actually, my wife tries to control me. She's kind of my voice. She's always been my voice of reason.
Is she listening
ideas.
Or something?
Is she listening?
I'm not sure.
You're just covering your.
Just yeah, making sure your that. Yes.
Because even the wife doesn't know how many knives he has.
I do have quite a few. I would say I even have a set of knives that I haven't even opened.
Mm-hmm.
That
wow.
I just bought just because I like it. So,
I love knives.
Yes.
So you were saying that you do like knives. You like?
I do. I love the knives. Mm-hmm. And probably
just
one of my.
Not admit it.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite ones is actually, I was scrolling through social media and I came across this knife. And it was kind of like one of those things where I show my son, my older son, and I said, "Hey, look at this knife."
He's like, "Dad, oh, you should get it."
Good. It's like, "Oh, it's really cool." It's like, send me the link. So I did. It was like, so he can look at it, because mm-hmm. the guy has like, he kind of like makes one knife and that's it. It's one of a kind. Next thing I know, I think it was, I'm not sure if it was my birthday or Christmas. And my son presented me the knife that I show him.
Oh wow!
Yes. Cool. Where was it made? Where is the dough?
In Canada.
Yes.
Canada.
Yeah.
Because just so you know, we have a knife maker here in Reading.
Oh, we do.
Who is one of? I'm trying to remember, but it's ridiculous. Like one of only 70 or 80 people on earth that are in that category are master
mm-hmm.
makers. I mean, literally, almost none on the planet. But, and he makes knives, and he's years booked to making knives for people.
Are you serious?
Oh, yes.
Well, I got to meet him.
And the knives, and the knives can go into the 30s to hundreds of thousands of dollars for a single knife.
Well, maybe you don't know how to make them.
Well, you know, never know.
Did he owe you a favor?
Do a little trade. Yeah. I'll cook for you.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'll have to have Rhonda look up the story because we did a story on him in the Enjoy magazine years ago.
Amazing.
But yeah, he is like, he's an anomaly in the world of knife making. I mean, it's like entire life of apprenticeships, and then you have to get to this thing where it's like you go test, and like almost nobody ever succeeds.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, wow. That
intense? Oh, yeah.
That's worth a story right there.
Yeah. That's a story.
Okay, we only have a few minutes. So, Chef, we look forward to your food. We look forward to what you bring.
What is Divine leaning towards? Is it going to just be an all-around, like, Mediterranean, do you know? Is it going to be heavy influenced on
European,
vegan, Italian, European? Okay, well that's good enough.
It's European,
yeah,
that's good.
There you go.
Okay, a European flair to that flavor.
Approach? Exactly. Yes.
Okay.
that means
he's getting kind of lockjaw on this. He's getting like, don't ask him any questions.
That means it's going to be heavily influenced from Bulgaria.
Exactly.
Well, we'll send some spies. Jason.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
If you guys want to taste the food, then maybe you don't ask too many questions.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's your secret.
Because if he tells us, he might have to kill us with one of his knives.
Tell them, Jesus.
Mr. Redding Buzz, any new restaurants opening up?
Yeah, there's, the French Bakery just opened up, right? And then, obviously, the Hunkaberry. Hunkaberries, right? Mm-hmm. It'll be opening up here really soon. And then also
Huckleberries.
Huckleberry. And then also Applebee's Incorporated IHOP, which they'll be,
is this the thing they're doing all over the country?
In the next 90 days, they'll be doing, redoing Applebee's in Reading here and incorporating IHOP, which, you know, IHOP is closed down and they're turning it into a Huckleberries.
Oh.
Mm. Oh, interesting.
So that's happening. Yeah.
I don't know if I can handle that.
It is kind of a strange combination.
I know.
Well, people say it works in certain places, so, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anything else? What else has happened, Mr. Buzz?
Well, no, that's about it. I mean, there's other things.
Have you ever?
Went up to, sorry.
That's all right.
Well, yeah, if you're going to, on the other side of Shasta, which is the east part of Shasta County, a lot of people forget that we do have places outside of Reading.
Lots of them,
there's
actually.
There's other places that exist outside of Reading, and that's Grandma's Kitchen you're talking about.
Yeah.
Which we're supposed to be going up there again pretty soon. Yeah, and then also Fall River Hotel. And then next door to that is Fall River Coffee, and across the street is another coffee place. So when we go up there, we're going to do a takeover.
There you go.
Semi-takeover Fall River. Mm-hmm. It'll be good, too.
Yep.
So I guess they named some kind of dish after Buzz going up there, doing several shout-outs.
The Stinger?
Oh,
yeah, the Grandma's Kitchen.
What is the thing I just saw pop up on my phone from Reading Buzz that...
Reading Buzz?
Yeah. Dr. Pepper is being pulled from somewhere.
Yeah, I just did that last night. I got it.
Who's pulling
Dr.
Pepper?
You're getting a notification now. You may want to update your phone.
Yeah, certain fountains won't carry Dr. Pepper anymore. It'll carry Mr. Peb.
Why?
I don't know. Corporate decision.
There you go.
Yeah. It comes running down from the HQ.
Okay. Now, the big news is
the big news.
We're going to be open.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Who's that? Where are we?
James, let's kick in about
1409 Market Street.
Enjoy.
Spencer James. Enjoy.
Yeah. It's going to be
Enjoy the Collaborative.
Yeah. Enjoy California,
the Collaborative. Mm-hmm.
Chester County Chamber, Reading Buzz.
Bernsini.
Spencer James.
A little bit of a tourism center.
When I leave here, I'm actually going right back down to finish building furniture.
There you go.
Oh, over there at the office?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep.
Well, that's interesting. Okay. So... Do you guys have a projected time when the chocolate...
We really wanted to be open this Saturday, but it's just certain things didn't happen come in, so we're really trying again for...
Our chocolate cases, we're waiting for the glass to come in, so there's just certain things that are delayed. And
you're driving down tomorrow and to pick chocolate up 1,000 pounds of chocolate.
Yes, we were out of chocolate, and we were waiting for our chocolate order to be released. And it took a lot longer, and then they were like, oh, when do you want to pick it up? And I'm like, yesterday?
What is that kind of chocolate everybody's raving about, though? And I never had it yet.
The Dubai chocolate?
Yeah, Dubai chocolate.
That's last month, dude. That's yesterday's news.
I've never had it, though. I've never had Dubai chocolate.
We do, Dubai chocolate.
Okay.
So I can
You're tired of it, though, I
we
think.
We make the truffles. We make
Dubai. No, I mean, it's delicious. I like
green,
it. But
like Halloween.
But I, but it's definitely a fad that's been.
Jesus just came over and just sampled the chocolate, so that was a good
thing. Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I did. And
oh, that,
every
I forgot about that.
One
yet.
Was delicious.
Spencer yes. James Confectioners.
Yeah, we had invited you over to talk about maybe doing something fun for Divine.
That'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd
all
be
right.
Awesome.
Last couple seconds. Everybody good?
Anybody Eric? Last thoughts?
No. No, last thoughts.
Jesus, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Here's
looking,
to it. Here's
looking
to
forward to you making a mark.
Yeah. Here's to a good November.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
See you next week.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.